This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 24th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Amy Guida will discuss how college tuition is tied to region and a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana. But first, today's news. Republican candidate for Governor Judy Bartopinka says the state has limited options when it comes to raising revenue, so she's proposed that the state place a casino in Chicago. Topinka says her plan, which includes a property tax freeze, would generate cash for needed programs without raising taxes. Illinois' treasurer notes that she's been a past opponent of expanding gambling in the state.
Now, today I'm still not excited about additional gaming, but I do want to give taxpayers a break and yet still have the state of Illinois meet its demands for our people and our school children.
The Blagojevich campaign, meanwhile, has accused Topinka of flip-flopping because of her prior opposition to gaming. And the leader of the Illinois House Republicans says he expects lawmakers will have a mixed reaction to Judy Bartopinka's casino plan. Sean Crawford has more.
Tom Cross says he wants to study the proposal, but many of his fellow GOP legislators are likely to take a dim view of adding a Chicago casino and more slots at existing riverboats. A majority of House Republicans voted in favor of banning casino gaming last year, and even though that measure stalled, their position was made clear. Cross says Topinka should anticipate some opposition within her own party.
There's no question there's some people that are going to have some concerns about this. That's the nature of the beast, and there's some that have always been opposed to gaming.
Cross says he gives Topinka credit for trying to improve the state's finances without raising taxes. He says he likes that Topinka has tied the casino plan to property tax relief and school construction. I'm Sean Crawford.
Teachers and support staff in the Danville School District have a new contract. The District 118 School Board unanimously approved the new three-year contract last night. Their vote followed ratification of the new agreement by members of the Danville Education Association. DEA Chief Negotiator Judy Rudnicki says the vote for ratification was overwhelming. She says union members feel very positive about the agreement.
As in any negotiations, I mean, each side, it would be quite easy if we could go in and get exactly what we wanted, and they would feel the same way. But in both sides, there's a certain amount of compromise, and we did compromise on this, but I think it was a very fair compromise.
Rudnicki gave no details of the contract pending its final written release. The Danville Commercial News reports that the contract gives teachers a 2% base pay raise in the first and second years and a 3% raise in the third year. Support staff get a 3% pay raise the first year and a 4% raise the second and third years. Illinois House Republicans say the state should hold a special legislative session to look into ways to help people deal with soaring gasoline prices. State Representative Bill Black of Danville says high gas prices are taking a toll on the state's workers. Black and other Republicans say they've sent a letter to House Speaker Michael Madigan and Senate President Emil Jones. It suggests that Illinois consider the temporary elimination of its share of taxes on fuel and legislation to increase the use of ethanol. The Republicans say their proposals would reduce gas prices by about 28 cents per gallon. A spokeswoman for Jones says a similar moratorium on taxes in 2000 didn't help motorists. And a Madigan spokesman says the House Speaker is unlikely to agree to the GOP's call for a special session. A Will County man in his 60s is the first person to die from the West Nile virus in Illinois this year. The man died Wednesday morning. Public Health Director Eric Whitaker says older Illinoisans should protect themselves from getting bitten by mosquitoes, which carry the virus. Peoria is planning a special tribute to Native son Richard Pryor. A sculpture of the late comedian will be installed at the Regional Museum on Peoria's riverfront. The project is expected to cost about $150,000. Sculptor Preston Jackson says the tribute represents a new time for Peoria, where officials came under fire a few years ago for naming a tiny street after Pryor. Opponents had pointed to his raunchy act and history of drug abuse. Officials unveiled a replica of the statue yesterday morning. Pryor died in December at the age of 65. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.uiuc.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. Classes have started or will soon start at colleges and universities across the nation. But like airline tickets, not all students are paying the same tuition rate. As Amy Guida explains in this week's edition of Legal Issues in the News, it all depends on where they live.
Okay, everybody, repeat after me. A domicile is a true fixed and permanent home to which one returns after an absence. A residence is a place where one lives, but not necessarily permanently. What difference does it make, you ask? Oh, say $10,000 per year plus, depending upon the university's tuition rate. Put another way, enough money to make a federal case out of it. Yep, it's that time of year again. Fall, when a young person's fancy turns to arcane legal definitions and how come she's considered an in-state student and I'm not? It's usually those pursuing graduate work who wonder it most often, if the reported cases are any indication. Perhaps because many of them, for the first time, are paying their own tuition bills. Students who are dissatisfied with their out-of-state status sue often on constitutional grounds, like equal protection and due process, trying to convince a court that the university was just plain wrong when it decided the domicile residents' thousands of dollars question against them. Take the fellow from Michigan who pursued a law degree in Indiana. In a letter certainly meant to spill some Wabash River-sized tears, he wrote to the university about his plans to live forever as a Hoosier. That, though currently single, someday he would raise a family in Indiana, his new but forever home. You get the idea. He sued when the school labeled him out of state. The court was as unmoved as university officials. Indianapolis was but his residence, it decided, not his domicile. Poetic letter, driver's license, voter registration, car registration, and bank records notwithstanding. Did I mention that he moved back to Michigan promptly after graduation? Which is one reason why it's tough to win these cases. First, courts find it perfectly constitutional for states to divide students into in-state and out-state camps and charge those who are domiciled out-state more tuition dollars. The preferential tuition basis, as the Supreme Court has called it, helps to protect and preserve the quality of the state's colleges and universities, or so the court has written. It's only when the restriction on in-state status fails to have a constitutional connection with the state's interests in favoring its own residents that the court will second-guess college authorities. When, for example, the court finds that the college has used an arbitrary and irrational classification system. Second, there's some nasty history there of students moving out of state after being declared in-state, which is not to say that the university always wins. While students at Temple and Rutgers were able to convince courts that their out-state status deserved a second look, a student at the University of Houston, who'd purchased a house in Texas, among other domicile indicators, had to pay the out-of-state rate. So put aside that SAT study guide on synonyms when considering the legal meaning of words like domicile and residence, and spin some Luther Vandross instead. He croons so aptly and taken so literally by many college administrators, a house is not a home. I'm Amy Guida.
Amy Guida is an assistant professor of journalism and law at the University of Illinois. We expect mostly sunny skies today with a high of 86. Wind southwesterly at 5 to 10 miles per hour. Partly cloudy tonight with a low of 65. And for tomorrow, mostly sunny, very warm and humid. A high of 88. Wind southerly to southwesterly at 7 to 14 miles per hour. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Thursday, August 24th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.uiuc.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.